Today I want to share with you a simple passage that really kind of goes along with the different things I've been studying and the encouragement I've been getting through Sunday school about being anxious and fear and all that kind of stuff, because it is one of the things that arrests all of that other stuff. And it's about courage. We are called to be courageous. And whether we realize it or not, we have the ability and the power to be courageous. You know, I realized this week that, you know, we know where fear comes from. That comes from our enemy. We know where anxiousness comes from. We know that it comes from the enemy. But he plays that on our flesh because our flesh is weak. And the thing is that I've realized is that regardless of those things being as real to my flesh, we need to understand that the power of God is more real to our spirit, where we don't have to be overcome by those things. We don't. And I'm stating that as a fact. We do not have to be overcome by fear. We don't have to be overcome by anxiousness, because our God is greater than he that is in the world. That's what Scripture teaches us. And it kind of, I was just reading this passage, and it talked to me really in a specific way about what courage is. It was mentioned in class this morning about when you go into stores and restaurants to eat, you seem to be finding more people praying than you have in a long time. Families praying at the table. And as I thought about that, I thought about in this world in which we live, it does take courage to do that, because it's not a real popular thing to do. Especially when you express your Christianity, express your faith, it's not a real popular thing. But you know what? It's not something that is specific to our day and age only. It's been around since the fall. Was Moses a naturally courageous man? No. He didn't want to go back to Egypt. He didn't want to be the people that led God's people out of Egypt. He made every excuse in the book to not have to do that. But God said, you're the one going. And God, by his Spirit and by his power, gave Moses courage. That doesn't mean that he didn't succumb to anxiousness and things at times during that specific part of his life, because he did, just like we do. But also, please understand that courage is something that we have available to us. And I believe in our day and age, we better learn to muster that courage up. We need to muster it up, because we are targets. Yes, you've heard me say it. I want you to understand it, because we need to be prepared for it. I don't want you to someday say, when all of it breaks loose and it all comes down tumbling on your head, our pastor never said anything about that. I don't want that to be the case. Okay? I want us to be prepared. God's Word wants us to be prepared. So I'm going to look at a couple of men that showed courage in the face of real turmoil. This couple of guys is Peter and John. And Peter and John, in Acts chapter 3, were going into the temple at the hour of prayer. And as they were going in, there was a man sitting by the temple gate called the Gate Beautiful. And he was a lame man. And he was begging for alms. And John, the Apostle John, looked at him and says, you know what? That which I don't have, I can't give you, but I can give that to you which I do have. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. I'm here to tell you, if you read that passage there in the third chapter, this guy didn't just roll over and easily get up. He leapt up. And he started praising and jumping around. So tell me, which was more important to him, alms or being able to walk again? God, through this apostle, gave him exactly what he needed. Now, I want you to know something. That took courage on John's part to do that. Okay? Now, he proclaimed his healing in the name of Jesus Christ. That was not a name that the Sadducees and Pharisees and everybody else concerning the temple wanted to hear. They wanted that name to be dead and buried and gone forever, like they thought Jesus would be. But they found out that he wasn't, and neither is that name. So as all of them were celebrating and all the people were going, how is this done? And John and Peter begin to explain to them, how could you not know how this is done? Through the Savior, through Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for your sins. Well, near the end of that chapter, or actually the beginning of chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested. And they're arrested by a captain of the temple and the Sadducees because they didn't want to hear what Peter and John were saying. Does this sound familiar in our world today? You go out witnessing the name of Jesus, and you're going to be shut down as quickly as you can, but you can go out and talk about Muhammad or Confucius or any one of these other false gods, and that's okay. In fact, they're willing to teach that in school, but you can't teach the name of Jesus Christ in school. So that name is still in the same category today as it was then. But I'm encouraged by courage. And it's not just because they were apostles and I'm not. So I want to start chapter 4, verse 5. If you would. It says, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. You know, I never saw this before, but that was as big a kangaroo court as you could get. I mean, come on, all family members of the high priest, what did you think was going to happen? Now, he says, and when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. I want to stop right there. Because I want us to understand something. Their courage came from the Holy Spirit. Your courage and my courage comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from within our own selves, drumming up our own positivity of life or drumming up that little extra bit of strength that we think we have. That Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives in our lives, He is the one that will give us courage. Courage equals boldness. Amen? We need boldness today in our world. Don't care what the outcome is. The outcome is going to be exactly whatever God wants it to be. And you and I, we need to be willing to accept that. If it's for His glory, what better reason could there be for it? Amen? So they were filled with courage and boldness. And I like Peter. Now, get this. This is the same Peter that ran the night at the time of Gethsemane. The same Peter that denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. The same Peter who, when Jesus died, went back to fishing for fish instead of men. The same one. But now, he is standing boldly before those who don't want to hear anything about it and proclaiming in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what I want to say this morning. They're proclaiming Jesus in three ways in this passage. Three ways that we need to be bold in. Three ways that we need to be proclaiming in. Three ways that we are given courage in to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Because these three things that are mentioned here strike to the heart and to the cord of every lost soul. And they will do one of two things. They either will rebel violently against him, or they will fall on their knees before him. But you and I, my friends, we must be bold. So what are the three things that are mentioned here? Well, let's look at verse 9. He says, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Ouch! Ouch! That must have struck a chord. Let me make it very clear to you. Healing is in God's hands. Had God chosen not to heal this lame man, it would not have been done. But God chose to bring glory to his name, and so that these two apostles could stand before in this very sticky situation and give glory to God in the boldness to which you and I also have been given. Amen? This said something to me. We pray for healing. I pray that in our prayers we believe God can heal. But we have to understand something. God is the final judge. And I like the way that he says here, if this day they are judged for a good deed done, then the one that they're judging is Jesus Christ. They're not judging the apostles. When people come and attack you, they're not judging you. They're attacking you for the faith that is in your life. That's what they're attacking. And so therefore, they're attacking the Savior. They're attacking the God of heaven. And we get healed when we leave this world. That's when real healing comes. I know the older I get, the more decrepit I'm going to become. It's just part of life. It just happens that way. God knows how decrepit I'm going to be, and he knows that I don't want to be real, real decrepit. But that's up to him. Should he continue to keep me going on strong? Praise his name. Hallelujah. But I would rather have courage rather than in the body than in him. Amen? When people say, why is it that you do what it is you do? It's because of the name of Jesus Christ. I've seen Jesus heal. I've seen that. I've witnessed it. But I've seen those that he's chosen not to. My wife being one of them. It wasn't because I didn't believe. It wasn't because I didn't pray. But my God had a greater and a higher purpose in it. Then maybe I even still to this day understand or realize he didn't send me a letter explaining himself to me. Okay? And I don't expect him to. I'm going to trust in him. Do you trust in him this morning? Do you trust in the courage that He can give you today? And when you are confronted by this situation, every good work comes from the Lord. Amen. In fact, we learned in our Bible study lessons that we are to be doing good works that represent the Lord God. You and I are to be doing those because it will either draw somebody to Jesus or in their vehemence it will drive them further away. That's their choice. That's their choice. Don't give up praying for family. Don't give up praying for friends. Everything that is mentioned in this passage is centered and focused around Jesus Christ, just as our lives should be. All centered and focused around Jesus Christ. I've lived too many years of it not being that way. Maybe some of you relate to that. Oh, I've been a Christian, and I've done my Christianly things at times, but never really focused on who Jesus is and what He did for my life. I would highly and strongly recommend, especially if you're a young person, get a handle on it now. Because my friend, you're going to need it as the days approach. You're going to need it. So let us become strong in the name of the Lord as this world gets crazier and crazier by the day. You used to have evaluate the world's crazy a year at a time. But now you can do it at 12-hour intervals. Yeah, that's how quickly it's going. But you know what? I'm not going to stay in this place. How about you? This isn't my home. This isn't any of God's children's home. We're just passing through. And while we do, are we making a difference? That's what my Bible tells me. So, the first thing that Peter says is, are you judging us because we, in the name of Jesus Christ, and let me make it clear, He was the reason healed. Are you judging us for that? The world will judge us for that very thing. Because we're going to see spiritual healing take place. The spiritual healing of lives changed. Of men and women and teenagers and children. Come to the gracious love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's be part of that work. Let's be courageous. Let's be bold. Well, that was the first thing. The second thing that I saw is, look at what he says here in verse 11. He says, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven whereby we may be saved. Again, Jesus Christ is the focus here. And He just tore them to shreds about their law. Because guess what? Their law is not going to save them. Their law is not going to lift them out of the jaws of hell. Their law is not grace. Jesus Christ is grace. And by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, His Son, there is mercy on us. Amen? Peter wanted to make it very sure that you understand there is no other way you can get to heaven other than by the name of Jesus Christ. That brings me to the point that there are so many misguided, misunderstood, misplaced beliefs on how a person gets to heaven. God is love. God is love. That's true. But love is not God. Love is not a God. Because within our God, who is love, there is also justice. And in justice, it means that those that reject and rebel and refuse to come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, will pay the just penalty of their rejection. And that is hell. May not like it. May not want to hear it. You may not even want to believe it, but it doesn't change a thing. And let me tell you something. Being a Christian is more than just lipping the words. It's action. It's doing. It's living. It's being. And no, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, because we can't. But I do want to be holy, for He is holy. I do want to be separated in a way that reflects my life as being different as others. Not my brothers and sisters. We're all in this together. So we should all desire to be holy, for He is holy. We should all desire to be separated, living a life that is different than the world out there. And being bold and courageous to say, there is no other name by which you can get to heaven but the name of Jesus Christ. There are so many falling to the works theology. You see, our human nature, our fallen human nature, is that we believe we have to do something. Even if it's a little bit, to make ourselves worthy for salvation. Well, you know what one of my favorite invitations is just as I am. That song says to you and I, come just as you are, because you're not going to do a thing to change yourself, to make yourself better. Can't do it. Come, He wants you to come just as you are. He'll clean you up. He'll forgive you. He'll change your heart. He'll give you a new mind. I love Philippians, which says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Shouldn't that be our greatest desire? It should. And the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, love, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things are a part of the active fruit that we display to a world that hates us and despises us. But my friend, it's okay. It's really okay. And I say that because Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. Yeah. You will never, ever be the world's best friend. Never. You will never be accepted by them. Religion will. Jesus won't. Judaism is a religion. A religion that believes that the next great person to build the temple of God, the temple rebrought, that is their Messiah. Now, doesn't it make sense why the Antichrist is going to put his image in the temple for them to worship? That's the Messiah they're waiting for. Not the Messiah that came and loved them and died for them and you and me as well. No. The world wants to get to heaven through some other false way. All this new apostolic reformation garbage, all this new nonsense that's going on out there, you know what that's done? Satan has set that up to distract you and I. That's what it is. It's a distraction. It's to get us off course. It's to hopefully change our mission and change our mind. That's what the prosperity gospel has done for so long. The prosperity gospel has been a distraction to people, and they prey off of the poor. Because the poor want and believe that they should have something better. You can't have anything better than Jesus Christ, my friend. You can't. But these deceivers, these wolves in sheep's clothing, these liars of Satan are doing everything they can to take your heart and your mind and deceive you. The Bible says if those days weren't shortened, even the elect would be deceived in the days to come. Oh, my friends, Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Hold on to that truth. Be courageous in that truth. When you get an opportunity to tell somebody that Jesus loves them, tell them Jesus loves them. And when they want to know, well, how do I know that? Look at the cross. That's where it was demonstrated, was the cross. That's real love. The Bible says that there's no greater love than for someone to lay down their life for another, just like Jesus did for us. That's the greatest love that you and I can show. Do we see the power in Jesus' name? Do we see the attraction to Jesus' name from us as His children? We should, and the Holy Spirit will give us courage to tell the truth, even if the truth is not what wants to be seen. We'll tell the truth, just like John and Peter did. That was the second thing. They were bold and courageous to say, without Jesus, you have nothing. The third thing that I want us to see here. In verse 13, he says, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Man, that reminds me so much of today's day and age. If you don't have the right education, you don't have the right degrees, man, you just ain't got nothing. And that's just the way I've been treated throughout the ministry by very many. I want to be in that category. Amen, do you hear me? I want to be in Peter's and John's category. I want to be found with Matthew instead, the tax collector, the sinner that was saved. Amen? So what is the third thing? They saw that the boldness and the courage that they had came because they walked with Jesus. Does that ring a bell for us? Right here. You pray, you read His Word, and I'll guarantee you, you're walking with Jesus. Do you hear me? And when you're walking with Jesus, the truth will penetrate your hearts, and the truth will stay in your heart. It will be in your mind, and when you're spoken to, you won't be ashamed. You'll be filled with courage to pray, no matter where it is. Just like the sinner that was found in the temple and he was praying and his head hung low because he was ashamed. He was ashamed. And Jesus said, this man is praying. Not like the Pharisees. Oh, yeah, look at me, how great and wonderful I am. Yeah. Those prayers didn't even leave their fingertips, let alone be ushered up before God. I was just sharing with the class this morning. Remember the time in Isaiah? God was tired of their ceremonial traditionalisms and their sacrifices because they were a bunk. That's why. They were saying one thing that they believed, well, God wants these wonderful sacrifices, but yet they were living in idolatry. God says, I would rather have obedience than sacrifice. Are you and I found obedient? Would we rather be obedient to Christ than to come in and sing hymns and usher our offerings and be on a church roll and think, I got it made? I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people that's going to be on church rolls, and that's not the role they're going to unroll in heaven. There's a book called the Book of Life that's going to be opened. And if your name is not found in the Book of Life, you don't get in. That name, your name, is written there by the blood of Jesus Christ and no other. Boldness. Let's be bold. Let's turn that courage into boldness through the Holy Spirit. Let the world know who we believe in. Let the world know whom it is we serve. Let the world know that there is no other for us than His name, Jesus Christ. He is our God. Let us be bold. Jesus heals. Jesus is only saves. And walk with Jesus and He will give you boldness. You will have courage. Let me ask you something this morning. How many of you in your own hearts say, you know what, I need more courage in my life. I need that courage that you're talking about. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have that courage if you'll draw on it. If you let Him control it within you, and you trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ more than any other name, because it was the only name given among men whereby we may be saved, the only name that ever suffered a sinner's death on a cross for you and I's sin, the only name that was risen on the third day, and in 40 days, He ascended into heaven to build that place for us for all eternity. Oh, hallelujah. What's in your heart and your mind today? Being bold does not mean being rude. Being bold does not mean standing out and screaming and hollering at people. Being bold simply means taking every opportunity that God gives you in seeking His face and sharing that with others. Even if we stand in the place of our enemies, let us be bold. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me for just a moment, please. And I want to ask you today, how many of us will say, I want this boldness and this courage in my life. I want to not be afraid and be anxious. And today I want to surrender all that I am to the one and to the name of God.